Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is one of the most growth-oriented, disciplined, all-around great guys that I know. I was telling him he's one of those guys that's just in the top 10% of people that you know. Luke Brown. Luke, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. I'm excited to chat with you, and it's been great. Luke and I were catching up a little bit before the show, and let me just tell you guys, you're in for a real treat with all the perspectives that he has and just the man that he is with great wisdom. Luke and I went to John Carroll together. Luke was just 1 year behind me, which is awesome because we got to spend a good amount of time together. So Luke, one thing I do admire about you right off the rip is your, again, your discipline, your commitment to the way that you're wiring your brain. Can you touch on that as such a young guy and the wisdom that you've gained in that realm already?
Yeah, for sure, Joe. So I just really believe in these early years of your 20s, the first couple of years of your 20s when you're graduating college. I truly believe these are the years where you can, rewire your brain to set you up for a life of success. You know, your brain isn't fully developed until you're 26. And I truly believe that the daily disciplines that you implement now will in turn create this wiring in your brain that can, you know, set you up for a life that you'll be regretting those decisions, or they'll be kind of working for you. So, with what I was telling Joe before we started is like, I kind of became aware of that after college, after I had to rewire some of the things that were going on in my brain from bad habits that I had, accumulated from going to college and going out too much and partaking in a lot of excessive drinking on the weekends and things like that. So I had to rewire the way that my brain worked and how it craved these different dopamine sensors that I was feeding it for so long. So, you know, I really started to focus on, you know, the people I surround myself with and the things I do that brighten my day and fill my bucket. To kind of rewire from a going out partying scene to a more like fitness focused and, you know, energetic level people I surround myself with to really enhance my life that, you know, in a way that it constantly feeds, my happiness and different things like that. It's not a spike of dopamine that instantly brings me back down below base level. It's one of these things that like I can continue to fill my bucket with these different things. And it's only exponential growth as I do that. So I'm still working on it. You know, I'm a year removed from college. You yourself, you're 2 years removed from college. And I truly do believe like, this year is such an important year. And I feel like one day I could write a book called, you know, The First Year Out of College, because it's such an important time to implement what you want to do in your life and implement daily disciplines that can lead you to where you want to go. And I've been really conscious with a lot of the decision makings, and sometimes I've fallen back into my old ways of doing things, but nonetheless, I've been conscious of the bad decisions I'm making as well as the good decisions. And
so important.
Every day I try to be better, and I try to understand my mind a little bit more, and it makes it easy. I talk about the wiring of your mind. I think it makes it easy when you really think about, why am I making that decision, or why is it difficult for me to make that decision? And once you understand the way your mind operates, it'll make those decisions for you to make just that much easier and that much more fluid, and in turn create, you know, a lifestyle of flow rather than, you know, searching for the next dopamine hit or a sort of confusion in your life, which I think can be very prevalent in your young 20s.
That's perfect, man. I love the phrase that you threw out about filling your bucket, right? You're working to fill your own bucket with all the people you surround yourself with the new endeavors that you're taking on, with the opportunities that are presented to you. But I have to even take you a step back just like briefly here. How did you even recognize that you were in a position where you weren't fulfilling what you are describing as your fullest self, as filling your bucket as much as you could have?
Yeah, I would say it came on a couple of miserable Sunday mornings after a night out and just truly realizing that this isn't what I want to do with my life. And nothing against the people around me, but a lot of the people around me were okay with waking up and feeling that way. And I think that's when I realized that, you know, I have a different goals, nothing against them. I'm not against going out or doing things like that. I still do it in moderation, but I couldn't fathom that I was wasting this much time, not as much as the going out part, but the fact that it was ruining the next couple of days. And I'm still trying to figure that out with drinking in moderation. But I just realized that I was on a different path. And if I wanted to do the things that had always consumed my mind, like this thought of one day qualifying for the Boston Marathon, well, if I want to do that, that's a very far way away. You know, it's way out there.
Yeah.
It's difficult to even conceptualize the thought of doing that. It's like, well, if I want to do that, I need to start implementing these daily disciplines that will one day lead me there. And the things that I am currently doing are not setting me on a path to one day complete these massive goals that I truly believe I harness the power to complete them, but my actions weren't aligning with what mm-hmm. I wanted to do. And that was something that truly bothered me, because I don't want to be all bark, no bite. You know, I want to be someone that if I say something, I'm able to complete it. And it was one of these things where I was just like postponing everything that I wanted to do in my life. And it's like, it's easy to do that in college. You know, you kind of have your days planned out for you, but when you're in the real world, you have a lot of the time to yourself, and you're able to take that time to either make yourself a better person or maybe take a step back. You know, there's no staying the same. So started to do these things,
so good.
Like I said, fill my bucket and really just try to take little tiny steps and allow the consistency to compound over time. And you know, I'm nowhere close to where I want to be, but I'm content with where I'm at, knowing that I have taken these small steps towards the places I want to be.
It's so good, dude. I give, with the opportunity to teach younger students, something I always tell them is, right, like if they make a bad decision and, you know, let's say that, you know, they shove somebody, you know, we're talking 6-7 year old kids, right? Like you shove somebody, you say something mean to somebody, whatever. You make that initial bad decision, then a lot of times you get like the pouting, right? You get put in that fight or flight. And then for a younger child, a lot of times it's that pout, that flight into this escape mentality of like, well, I'm just going to cry. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm shutting you off. And I often ponder this with them. I'm like, okay, so you can't take back that you shoved this kid, that you said something mean to this kid, whatever, that initial bad decision. But now you have the choice. You either can make another bad decision and add on to it, which would be in this case, not apologizing, whatever. Or you can make a better decision. You can go and maybe right the wrong, maybe make that person feel better, make yourself feel better. That's not the goal, but it's going to happen because you're doing the right thing. And so with you, it's like, you're saying, I'm making decisions now that are better, right? So even if that time I go out, that's once a month, that's once every 2 months, whatever. It's not this incessant habit. And then eventually that turns into, you know what, dude, I have total control. I have total autonomy over what I'm doing here. And I feel like I'm in the driver's seat making good decisions and building those healthy habits that are going to last you with that elite wiring of the brain that you desire.
Yes, I completely agree. And it's so important for anyone who's listening that, you know, may want to change something about, you know, the way they look at things, is just take a moment of silence and really ask yourself why you think that way or why you act that way. And I truly believe that the answers will come to you. It may not be at that exact moment, but if you're really intentional about your thoughts and the way you think about something you do that bothers you, I truly believe that the answers will come to you and you'll be able to figure it out from the internal.
Amen. Yeah. How have you seen your life shift since shifting it a little bit?
Oh, it's incredible. It really is.
Okay.
I feel that every aspect of my life has become more enjoyable since looking deeper into why I acted the way I did or why I did these things. And it's like, I'm not scared to say no anymore. I'll say no to things that I don't want to do. And as it is, it's like, does this fill my bucket or not? You know, and I want to do like 95% of the time things that fill my bucket. The other 5%, I'll go and do things that may, you know, give me the short hits of dopamine, go out, drink with my friends, do this, do that. But really, since I've made these shifts, I've found everything to be in more of a flow state, and life feels more enjoyable. You know, I wake up with more energy. I'm more content with my actions, and I'm more intentional with my time. And therefore, you know, that energy that I'm giving out is just, you know, reflecting back on me, and I'm filled with so much more joy and gratitude because of my actions and what I'm portraying and you know, releasing out into the world. And I just think it's so important to, you know, do things that make you happy. And in order to do that, Joe, and I know you're very similar to me, you really have to go and do different things, you know, which can be super uncomfortable at points in time. But how could we possibly know what we truly enjoy unless we go and try that? Like, we were talking about reading and playing chess and writing earlier. And these are all things that I once neglected as a child. And now, sure, I'm fascinated with them, you know? So you got to kind of rewire and think that, like, okay, just because I used to think this was stupid, you know, just because I used to think that I would never be able to do this, start a podcast, I'm still going to do it and try it and you know, conquer the doubts of my own mind. And, you know, hey, if I do 5 episodes of the podcast and it's not something that I'm enjoying, I could step away from it. And, you know, I'm not going to look at it as me quitting. That's just me trying something new and understanding that that doesn't fill my bucket as much as I thought it would. So really just, I think it's so important to try new things, surround yourself with new people, ask people difficult questions, see what people are passionate about. And that's the only way that you're going to find out what you're truly passionate about. Like right now, I love running. I love working out. I recently started a podcast called Anyone Extraordinary. And on top of that, like you know, I'm working 40 hours a week. So this has given me the opportunity to really, you know, create a skill set outside of my job, and also create a passion project that makes life just so much more fun when you have a passion. And And, you know, if you don't find a couple hobbies in your 20s, they're most likely going to resort to going out every single weekend. And listen, nothing against anybody that does that. But for me, that's just not the path that I wanted to spend. And it's not, I didn't want to spend the majority of my time in my 20s doing that. So I'm trying to work to fill my bucket in other ways. And it's honestly been more rewarding doing that.
It's funny too, that you mentioned the rewards right now, because I couldn't help but think, I'm like, the stuff that you get back is so good too, right? Like, not only the experience is that great, but the people that come into your life and the qualities that they have and that they evoke from you and the talents that you learn from being around these sort of people and the conversations, like you said, asking difficult questions, the conversations that become reality as a result of making those decisions is mind-blowing to me. Have you had that experience that the things that are coming back to you, the people that are entering your life, are really fulfilling?
Most definitely. I think that's been the most major shift in my life is who do I spend my time around? And ultimately, you know, my mom growing up always told me, you're a product of the 5 people you hang around. And it was like,
yeah,
and it was like a broken record. And it was just kind of one of those things that I just always pawned off. No, I'm my own person. I'm not a product of the 5 people I hang around, but it really is true. And I can look at the 5 of my closest friends right now, and I can see part of me in every single one of them. And, you know, some for better and some for worse. But really being intentional about the time that you spend around different people. And as you said, yes, like once I started to switch those action was the moment that a lot of great people came into my life. Maybe not necessarily like just showed up, but I became a lot closer with them. And the quality of my life got that much better from just spending more time around that person that shared the same ideologies and a similar passion and, you know, similar overall outlook on life. And it's a refreshing feeling to be around someone that you feel confident around, feel confident to be able to bring things up that maybe our difficult conversations.
Definitely.
And also someone that you really value and respect their opinion, you know, because there's a lot of questions after college that come up and it can be confusing at times. As I said, in college,
you know, word for it.
laid out for you. You're always told where to be, what to do, and how to succeed. You know, there's measurements for success in college, whereas in the real world, there's really no measurements for success. So you kind of have to internally create those measurements that are fulfilling to you, and having some people to bounce these very difficult life topics off of is super important, especially at this early age.
Definitely. I'm so in agreement with you, Luke. And I think having people who push you is the basis of like the ultimate friend group, the ultimate really family that you develop outside of your birth family. And that's the only way that we can do it, because I don't think you can do it alone. And so if you have people that are just like, yes, man, then you just remain status quo. So it's those people who push you and really help you. Again, you keep using this word, but fulfill yourself and fulfill what you're called to do, the gifts that God gave you to share with the world. So it's incredible how it all ties together. And with that, a little bit of a nod here, you and I talked about this, but I think it does all connect. I think there's like this intertwining of our actions. Can you touch on an aspect of your life or some aspects where you see it all making sense in the rear view, right? Like you can't connect the dots looking forward. As the saying goes, you can only connect the dots in hindsight.
Yes. Yes, I definitely can. And I think it all begins with the internal, right? So I believe, you know, maybe the things will be going on around you, the synchronicities of life, or, you know, God-like instances, but I think they become more clear when you begin to align within yourself, you know, align with your true passion, align with what you truly believe a good human should do. And when you're content with yourself and your actions and what you're doing and the way you're thinking, that's when I believe you're able to see these synchronicities that happen around you. And yes, I could point to recently I was going through a difficult time where I had made the decision to relocate to a new city with my girlfriend. It definitely seemed like the right thing internally to do. And then it was time to look for a job, and it was kind of like crunch time. I had put my notice in for my job. I had 2 months to find a job before moving there and having more bills to pay. And, you know, I started training for a marathon shortly before this as well. And it's one of those things where like, I wanted to give up every single day on the marathon. It was so tough with work. As I mentioned, I was trying to start a podcast. I was trying to train for this marathon on top of, you know, applying for a job where I didn't even know if I could stay in the same industry that I've been working in for the last year, or I was going to have to, you know, start over, maybe take a pay cut, go to a new industry. And you could just imagine the mind begins to doubt itself. And, you know, I just kept on saying, stay true, that at the basis of everything I do is my physical training. And I truly believe that sets me up for success in the rest of my life. And as much as I doubt it, because I put myself through a lot of rigorous workouts day in and day out. And it's nice to see one of these moments where it pays off, because so many times I didn't want to put in any job applications. It was just like so easy to give up, but I would come home. I wouldn't allow myself to doubt. I would just put on my running shoes and go out and do my workout. And every time I'd come back, I would be able to conquer those emotions during my run. As I am out there, I rarely ever use headphones. I just like to, you know, see what's going on in my mind and kind of work through some different problems, especially during times like these. And I would come back and I would just say, you know, put out a couple more applications. I probably submitted over 200 applications.
My gosh.
Honestly, the job that I got was like probably the top five job out of any of them. So, you know, super, super happy and grateful for that opportunity, but also, you know, I was being nudged to continue to do the marathon training, you know, and that was the thing that kept me sane through this time and allowed me to catapult my career and give me the confidence with this move. And, you know, I like the fact that I got this job, but there was a bunch of applicants, and I just kept on telling myself and speaking it out into the world that this is how much I want to make. This is the industry I want to work in. And really, it all worked itself out. When they offered me the job, it was exactly the number that I was saying I was going to receive. And I kind of told myself that on these runs, I'm just like, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. And even at that point in time, I didn't fully believe it myself, but there's something about the spoken word, and there's so much power in the spoken word. And this can relate to anything. If you're ever, we'll just use the run example again. There's this rule that I have with myself when it gets hard on a run. I'm not a runner. I'm a football player. I'm trying to learn this running thing. And when it gets really hard on a run, I'll allow myself to think it, but I won't allow myself to say it. Once you say it, that means that you believe it. So say something's hurting on you. Say like, you know, your Achilles gets tight. The moment you say it is the time that you'll believe it. There was a story of a guy who was running an ultra marathon, and he was running like 100 miles or something. And at mile 55, he like tore his hamstring, and he was kind of at mile 75, still running on a torn hamstring. And one of his friends asked him, how's he doing, as he started to run with him or run past him or whatever. And he said, I think I tore my hamstring. And once he spoke it out loud, he gave up. He's like, I neglected that fact for the last 25 miles, but now that I said it, believe it, and my brain won't allow me to go any further. So I think there's a lot of power in the spoken word. And I guess the lesson to take from that is like, if you want something, if you really, really, really want something, you have to speak it out loud. Like I said earlier, I think it's almost embarrassing for me to say that I want to qualify for Boston, having never ran a marathon. My first,
it's not embarrassing. That's incredible.
Right. But
that's a great goal.
Right. It's a great goal. But also it's a little bit embarrassing because I've never even ran a marathon. So who am I to say I want to qualify for Boston? Obviously that's somewhere down the road, but the fact that I am saying it, I truly believe that one day I will be able to qualify for Boston. And maybe naive on my part, having never ran a marathon before, but I think there is truly a lot of power in the spoken word. And rather than saying, you know, I don't know if I could ever do that, I've never even ran a marathon before, I'd say, you know, I'm not naive. I'll say, I think somewhere down the road, I can qualify for Boston. And for that reason, I believe that it is possible.
Yeah, you respect the process. You know, it's going to take work. You've been training for marathons here and elsewhere, so there's no reason that can't bolster into you running the Boston Marathon with people, by the way, who also at some point weren't runners until they were a runner, until they were at the Boston Marathon. And all these non-runners are people that are qualifying and competing at the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, that is true.
There's like no reason to be them.
Yeah. Even, you know, the best podcaster, the best runner in the world, at one point they were doing nothing, which is so tough, I think, for us who grew up, especially for us that grew up in this social media and internet generation where everybody just sees the highlights. It's like,
dude, it's very
difficult for people to make it through the dark times because none of that is captured, which that's the way it is. But it's very difficult to understand those dark times when you don't see them, when you don't see what the people went through.
And I think that's starting to shift a little bit as a side note. Like, I think people are starting to value hearing some of the authentic pathways that people have taken in order to get to where they are, as opposed to just saying, I'm Mark Cuban, I own the Mavs, and I'm a billionaire. Like, that's less fulfilling as I'm Mark Cuban, and when I bought the Mavs, I called season ticket holders that weren't renewing for the next year. And I said, hey, I'm Mark Cuban. I just bought the Mavs. What can I do to get you back in on the Mavs? We're going to turn this team around. We're excited about our young talent. We got our eyes on this guy named Dirk Nowitzki, and we're going to turn this thing around. And that story all of a sudden is a lot more meaningful than I'm Mark Cuban. I'm a multi-billionaire. You see me on Shark Tank. what's up, you know? And so I think that that desire to know some of the toiling that it requires to be in the Boston Marathon, to rewire your brain by the time you're 26 or when you're even younger, if you can, that story is real. Mm-hmm. So I think people are starting to shift that way. And with that, Luke, why don't we start diving into some of these different endeavors? First of all, blanket, when did you decide you're like, you know what, I want to start going after some of these endeavors. I want to start putting out fitness content. I want to start with a podcast. When did you decide that, okay, it's go time. Let me do these things.
Yeah, that's
a great. And how did you get there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this might come across as a little bit out there for some people that know me, but not the most confident person in the world, as some may think. I'm confident within myself, but to actually go out there and try something new, it really scares me. But I think that's the part that is honestly attractive for me, because I know I've been through enough hard things in my life to know that the other side of something that's hard or uncomfortable is there's a lot to gain through that experience, which I cherish and really look for in my life. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it was, you know, graduating from college and, you know, moving down the street, starting a job and really just not feeling very fulfilled. I found mm-hmm. myself trying to escape from what was happening in my life on the weekends. And like I said, it was just a little bit too much. It's like, hey, I've been doing the same things on the weekends consistently since junior year of high school. And I say that I've grown so much, but here I am spending my free time the same way that I did as a junior in high school. And as much as I love going out and having a great time with friends, it's like, I'm ready for something new. And I just felt that internal switch within myself shortly after graduation. And I knew that I had to find something else to fill my bucket. So, you know, luckily around that time, my good friend Trevor Morrison asked me to be on his podcast, which at first I was like, why would he want me on his podcast? Truly, that was my first thought. Like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, this and that. So he ended up asking me about, you know, a lot of the things that I'm done. And like, when I spoke them out loud, I'm like, damn, I have done some pretty cool things.
Yeah.
And he told me at the end, as I was talking about, cause he kind of brought it up, like, man, you got to start doing some stuff. Like, it's at the end of that podcast. And I was just kind of like, yeah, you know, yeah. And then that night I was kind of up all night just thinking about like, what if I did, like, what about if I just started something?
God, dude, sometimes we need that push, man.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, like you're looking at the pool. It's like you need shoved off the diving board. Like,
yeah. And I'm just kept on doubting myself. And, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't happen overnight, though. Like to start a page, like I didn't know the first thing about video. And at that point, I wasn't even thinking about starting a podcast. But I remember I had a few follow-up conversations with Trevor. He's a good friend of mine. So I, you know, just called him and told him what I was thinking about. And him and my good friend Cal, who had both been in the online realm creating content, they were on me. Like, I could tell that you want to do this. You need to stop caring about what other people are going to think and just put your creativity out there. People have
a lot. That takes a minute, bro.
It does. It really does. And I remember I went out. I was super into kettlebell workouts at that point in time. And I still am. And I went out, I'm looking at my kettlebells right now. I went out and I just bought two kettlebells because I was doing them at the gym. And I just went to the local park and I set up my phone and I just videotaped my workout. And I posted that workout and I saw a lot of great feedback from it. I've kind of fallen off of it recently since getting my podcast going. That was something that I started after the fitness content was, I brought it up to Trevor. I'm like, dude, I think I want to start a podcast. And I was so happy. Yeah. He was like, dude, you got to do it. You got to do it. And I had this.
It was the best friends, man.
So I'll tell you where the podcast came from. So I was training for a triathlon last summer, and all summer I was training at the YMCA in Willoughby. So I would go there every day after work. I'd be there from like 4 to 6 o'clock training. I would always end my session in the sauna, and we would have the same crew there every day. Well, in the
right, sauna, dude, you get the same gym people at the same time. It's so funny. Right.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, if you go at another time, like if you say, let's say you usually go at like 5, if you go at 9 o'clock, they're going to be there. I don't know why it goes that way, but the one day you go at 9, they all went at 9. It's so right. funny. It's like, how did I'm like, I see you at 5, but it's 4 hours later. Why are you here? Yeah. But go ahead. Sorry. So you're in the sauna.
That is true though. So I'm in the sauna all summer and I'm talking about this triathlon, super scared about it. Didn't really know how to swim. I had a mile swim that I was preparing for, and just like a lot of emotions involved with that because it was a monumental task for me. So these guys were honestly helping me. There was a swimmer in there, different guys, but there was this one guy named Mark who was from Montana. He grew up in Willoughby, but he moved to Montana his whole adult life. He was probably in his 50s or 60s. And he just lived in the mountains, lived off the land, and, you know, backcountry skied in the winter, did a bunch of hiking in the summer, and just a high vibrational, high energy person who was back in Cleveland taking care of some family who were sick. So he was just a fascinating human that had this perspective on life, as you could imagine, from someone who lives off the grid in the mountains of Montana. Yeah. So, you know, just like one story, for instance, is, you know, he was telling us he's got hair down to the middle of his back. And he was telling us how, at this point in time, it was approaching winter. And he was like, yeah, this is when, cross country skiing would just be picking back up in Montana. And I was like, oh, he's like, yeah, but I won't make it back this year. You know, like my family and things, I just got to be here for them. And I'm like, you know what, Mark, it'll think, and I have some wisdom to give to him. I'm like, you know what, Mark,
oh boy,
it'll just make it that much better once you're back in Montana cross country skiing, which I truly believed. And he goes, but it won't. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, it won't be as good as this moment as long as I'm just present in the moment. And that switch for me, it was like, that's true. He's like, all you have is this moment right here, whether I'm cross country skiing or talking to you, as long as I'm present in that moment, it can't get as good as it is. And just like so many nuggets of wisdom that he would just like, you know, come out of the corner with and on a daily basis. So what happened to come back to the story is like, so I was on the podcast and then I like meet this fascinating guy and then they're on me to like, so I start making the fitness content. And then I'm like, I would always think about, man, I would just like, it's people like this guy
that would
never, ever be in front of a mic, but they have so much to give, so much wisdom, so much value that can be gained through their words. And I would just think on my dark drives to work at 6 in the morning, like, oh, I would love to interview someone like that. So that's where the name Anyone Extraordinary, just any random person that I could find. Well, now here's another thing that happened. One day I showed
up. Great name, by the way. Gotta like, just to cut you off real quick. Anyone Extraordinary, just to plug you, is a great name for a podcast. And it's succinct and everyone knows what you're saying and it has a nice ring to it. So kudos, Anyone Extraordinary. Everybody check it out. It's on all platforms.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. Well, one day I show up to the gym and Mark's gone. So I'm sure he's back in Montana, never saw him again. And that's when I was like, I don't want him to miss another opportunity like this.
Nice.
So I started figuring out what, you know, I don't want to run into somebody else that has that same impact on me. And I can't put a microphone in front of them and pick their brain about something that really invigorates me. And that's when I was like, shit, I sat on that for 3 months and never took action. I would look at him every day and like, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to start it. And I'm going to ask him, I'm going to start it tomorrow. And then I'm going to ask him, I'd be deep in my sauna session, deep in my thoughts tomorrow. I'm going to start it the next day. And then I would just, you know, I just leave that. And, yes, that was the main reason why I missed out on a great opportunity, but in turn it created an amazing opportunity for me as well. And it's been nothing short of incredible so far. I've been loving just having a conscious and amazing conversation with people that, you know, no phones are around and it's just, it's you and me. And
yeah,
just so, just such a breath of fresh air. Like Joe and I were talking for an hour and a half before we even started recording this. It's like one of those things that we really don't do a lot anymore without distractions. And for that reason, it's very freeing.
Yeah. It's also so powerful because like you're in an environment that is set up for it, right? Like if, let's say like you and I meet up for coffee, like when you talk about distractions, it could be as simple as, you know, the person next to you drops their coffee. It's the person next to you, their phone rings. And like you and I could be locked into a conversation and it'll still be really great. But there's something about the fact that right now there's nothing else going on. I'm in my room at home. The lights are off. I just have my desk light on. It's the mic, you and me, Luke.
Yeah.
And same thing with you. You haven't moved since we've been talking, right? Like you've been sitting wherever you're sitting. There's nothing going on clearly around you, noise wise, people wise. And like, that's what it's about. It is next level connection that we get to do on our shows. And it's a blessing for sure.
It really is. It really is. I love, and I look forward to it. And I think I had a major shift recently where I had Trevor on, who originally had me on. And I asked him, I was like, man, you've had, and same thing to you, you've had over 20 episodes. Like that's the top 1% of podcasts. A lot of podcasts don't make it. And a lot of people think it's going to be a great idea. And I kind of saw it as like this nose to the grind. So I got to put my head down and do a lot of episodes. Like what's made you go like past, you know, why, how did you get to 30 episodes?
Yeah.
And he's like, to be honest, man, I just love doing this shit. And I'm like,
okay.
Like, yeah, I'm thinking way too hard about like working hard and doing these different things. It's like, what is the basis of it? Like I'm the one that spent the money on the mics and I'm the one that spent the time to do this, like enjoy every aspect of it. There's no reason to just put your head down and work hard and, you know, not receive the fruits of your labor. Like enjoy every single part of this process, and that will make it so much more successful in the future, you know.
Definitely.
It will bring out more creativity throughout the process if you truly enjoy it, rather than just see it as, you know, something that you have to do to get to 20 episodes to, you know, feel like you're a validated podcast or a validated host. It's like, no man, just enjoy it. Like we're all just out here having fun. And that's kind of how I've been recently, not beat myself up. If I don't have somebody on every week, it's like, they'll come and, you know, there's no rush to get to any amount of episodes, you know, the guests that will flow to me. And, you know, when the time comes to reach out to people, I can do that as well, but really just enjoying every single part of it. This is my passion project right now. And there truly isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about it. And that's how I really know it. Yeah. It lights me up. And I'm sure you can say the same. I know you've had this platform for a while now. So it's been cool to see the evolution of yours. And
thank you.
It's been good to connect with you, but I know we need to get in touch some more, because I'm sure that you have a lot to shine on me, as you've done this for a lot longer. So
it definitely ebbs and flows, Luke, as with anything, right? Like the first year I hit it hard, did have my nose to the grind, loved it. I did have my nose to the grind and was, you know, committed to making sure I'm pumping out episodes regularly. And then that second year, man, I think I put out like 6 or 7 measly episodes. They were great, but just the consistency wasn't there. And this year really was shooting for a heaven one every Friday, and I've fallen off the wagon a couple of times, but it's been quite a better third chapter of the show. So it ebbs and flows, as with anything, and it takes time, right? I think it takes time. And so it's keeping all those balls in the air. That is the toughest part. It has nothing to do with the love or lack thereof for it. It's completely something that you and I both love to do. And it's just keeping all those balls in the air. It truly is. So I like that you're not beating yourself up over it. It's important. And just as long as you're loving the conversations, man, you're going to kill it, because you are inquisitive. You have a great mind to ask the questions and develop the conversation. So from there, that's what's left. It's just enjoying it. It's just doing it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
100%. What's been the biggest surprise to you as a new podcaster in the industry? What is it about podcasting where you were like, this shocks me?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think as a creator in general, you don't understand the time and thought and energy that goes into making something that's truly creative. I think that like when you consume a lot, you get used to just like seeing these well put together videos or podcast clips. When you then go to do it yourself, you realize it takes a lot of time, energy, and talent. So that's been a major wake up for me, but also has in turn given me a deep appreciation for creators and people that are willing to, you know, make something from nothing. And, you know, whether it's just a clip from a podcast and, or, you know, a day in the life, like I can appreciate that a lot more knowing that there's a lot of effort and thought that went into that. But in terms of a podcast, I have really realized that it is a true talent and art to create a thoughtful conversation. I try to eliminate the word interview now because I felt like in my earlier episodes, I was really interviewing, like searching for, rather than like now where I feel like we're in a flow state where like the conversation's just flowing. And I don't know how you feel. It's a little bit different as the interviewee, as the interviewer, but I felt myself in the first couple episodes in times where I'm like, oh, this isn't flowing. Like I need to ask a question. And there always gets to a point in time, I feel in the end where I'm like, I don't know what to say. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Like, you know, and the best podcast hosts, like I've listened to a million podcasts. It really never gets to that point with them. So there's definitely an art to creating an environment, cultivating an environment where somebody feels comfortable enough. So they're not feeling like they're just answering. Like right now I feel very comfortable. I feel like off the cuff and I'm just saying what's ever on my mind. But on the same note, I think it's very important to have a great mixture of mixing in your thoughts as well as creating allowing the conversation to evolve with questions. And the happy medium of that is someone you don't want answer question. That's an interview. Well, a podcast is more of a conversation that has questions like you just asked me interwoven into it. And well, I'm not here to tell anybody what a podcast is, but the most invigorating conversations that I've heard are more conversation based with a couple of questions intertwined that allow just a little bit deeper of conversations.
I'm with you wholeheartedly. And I think that has been the biggest growth point for me since episode one to now on any quote unquote interview, as we're saying here, any conversation with someone is that it's, you constantly are getting better or worse, I guess, at having these conversations and interweaving questions with your own thoughts and allowing the appropriate feedback and also tailoring it certain ways. And it's definitely an ongoing development process, but it's one that's well worth it because as we both have established, we love it. So
yeah,
it's a challenge. I appreciate you saying that because I appreciate it for the same thing. And it's funny when people ask me, they're like, oh, like what are some of you, like you host a podcast. What are some of your favorite podcasts? I have to answer it in two different ways. There's some podcasts that I listen to explicitly to study the craft. Like there are certain people that are so good at the craft of podcasting, which many of the big ones are. And there's some that I like to listen to just listen to and just to kind of cherish what they're saying. And even those, sometimes I find myself, I'm like, dude, you're not listening to this to study the craft. You're listening to this because you're curious about the conversation. I have to rewind and like not study the art of being a podcast host. And that's how I knew that was the number one thing for me that I was focused on in developing for myself in my own show. So it's seamless that the same thing is happening for you. I think it's a natural progression.
Yeah, it's definitely been a huge learning curve. But at the end of the day, you just remind yourself that, you know, nobody's going to be good at it the first time. And you got to have the ability to laugh at yourself when you say something stupid or, you know, when you create, you know, at this point, I've probably had 10 hours of talking. Like, if I told myself at the start I was going to be perfect for the first 10 hours, like that would just be silly to think. So you're going to mess up, and there's going to be a lot of times in the future where I do. So just not being hard on yourself and understanding that that's just all part of the process, and try not to make the same mistake twice. So that's all you can do is just learn and move on.
Definitely, as with anything. And with that, you had talked about your first video in the fitness realm that you just went to the park, brought your kettlebells, went there, filmed it, boom. How has it developed now? Because your page is Live in Full Flow, right? Live yes. in Full Flow.
Yeah.
And so, A, talk to me about that title, because that's another really good one, Live in Full Flow. And you've mentioned this word flow a couple of times. And B, how have you seen yourself develop in that fitness realm, and what role does it play now?
Yeah. So that's a page that I was hitting hard for probably 3 months of kettlebell and yoga content, and kind of my like reset content. I like to go out on the weekends into nature and cold plunge in the local creek, and maybe, you know, do some pull-ups on trees or climb some trees and do different things. So
that's awesome.
Those are all like aspects of my life that I guess people have kind of found interesting at some point.
You're like Tarzan.
I'm not a big traditional workout guy. Like I love to be outside barefoot, and that's why I'm attracted to kettlebells, because I just keep them in my truck and I go to the park, kick off my shoes, and get a workout in. So the name Live in Full Flow, I was wanting to start a fitness page, and I, you know, wrote out a bunch of different things, like higher state of living. I kind of just didn't want it to be my name. And I was between Life in Full Flow and Live in Full Flow. And I truly saw, now like you have Smile Like You Mean It apparel, I saw like I could create a brand out of this one day. And Live in Full Flow, I kind of saw it on like baggy t-shirts and like a circular thing. And I was like, this just,
yeah,
it flows. And it's something that I can speak. Yeah, right. No pun intended. And it speaks to me. Like I'm constantly chasing this flow state where, you know, everything in my life kind of, there's not that much thought. And that's the way I feel when I pick up a kettlebell. You know, one of my rules with working out is like when I'm out there and I have my shoes off and I'm doing a kettlebell workout, like I don't count reps. I get lost in the motion, and I create my own workout through these different kettlebell flows that never have a number attached to it. You just kind of go, you try to be as artful as you can in the movement, and you get lost in it. And I don't know at the end of it, if I've done, you know, 6 reps or 10 reps, I just kind of do it until I'm tired, and then I do it again. And that's where Live in Full Flow came from, along from just this overall lifestyle that I want to achieve where, you know, I can flow through my day and not have any regards or regrets about what I'm doing. And I think flow is a word that I've always been attracted to. So I'd love to implement that in the name. And for those of you listening, I said I was hitting it hard for 3 months, and then this kind of life transition happened where I was kind of focusing more on the podcast and finding a job. But I really am looking to and hopeful and looking forward to, you know, posting more content on Live in Full Flow. So anyone that's interested in kettlebell workouts, or just, you know, someone that's looking to get into working out, I've seen how physical activity can really change somebody's life. And I believe that kettlebells specifically are a means of working out where there's, you know, you don't have to deal with the judgments of a gym, or I think it could be intimidating to walk into a gym and there's a million things and a million people that act like they own the place. So getting a kettlebell and being able to go to the park and really find your style of working out that you enjoy, I think is, I don't want to say the future, but I think it's very beneficial for people that might be nervous about working out. And it's, I want to cultivate a community around kettlebells and working out outside of the gym that, you know, is inviting for people. And I've always had this next idea. I'm constantly thinking I want to create the Columbus Kettlebell Club, where you know, we meet Saturday morning and it's just a free workout where we all get together and, you know, hang out outside and do some cool kettlebell flows. So that's definitely to come in the future.
Dude, the Columbus Kettlebell Club. I can't wait to come for a lesson, man, or a little workout with you. For sure. Let me know when that's going on. But dude, I have to tell you, like, this, first of all, love it from an apparel standpoint. Like, I could see it with some like flowy fonts, right? Like, it could flow down the side of something, flow down whatever. So love that you're killing that. But the part that really stands out to me is how, two things. Number one, when you were like in a traditional gym setting, it's like, okay, I'm going to do three sets of 15 reps. Lord knows that when you hit that 12th rep in the third set, you're like, I'm done. Your brain's telling you, like, I'm done. I can't even do these last three automatically. And it, you could set that number, whatever. You could set that number at 7. You could set it at 400.
Yeah.
But the point is that when you get towards the end, when you get closer to the finish, until next time, you want to quit. And I feel like it creates those feelings. So when you say, like, I don't even count reps, I'm like, yeah, because now you're just trusting what you can say. And then you hit it on the head. The line that stands with me the most is that you say, I did it until I was tired. I do it until I'm tired. And then you said, then I do it again.
Yeah.
And like, how wise is that? And how in touch with A, yourself, but B, your goals and the mindset and the being that you're trying to create in yourself. Like, that sums it up. That hits the nail on the head for people who are trying to better themselves and live in a state that is high dopamine all the time, high joy, high profile, just high sense of being. Like, that's good stuff, Luke. Mm.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's an interesting way of working out. It's definitely different, and there's so many different ways that you can kind of, you know, find a way to move your body. And I'm there for anyone that's willing to find a way to, you know, move their body and feel good. That's the point of working out physically is really just to feel good. So I encourage anybody to find their way of working out, but it doesn't have to be the traditional route. There's a lot of different ways out there. And it a lot of the times it doesn't need to cost any money. And as long as you can find, I became obsessed with kettlebells because I truly enjoyed it. I didn't have to think about going to the gym every day. Whereas after my football career, it was a mental battle to go to the gym every single day. And I just thought that's kind of how it had to be. And this is what I have to do to, you know, feel the satisfaction of finishing a workout. I just have to conquer all these emotions. It's like, you really don't. You just need to figure out. I think we all like to move in a certain way. You know, some people like to climb in trees. Some people like to go on walks. Some people like to do yoga. Some people like to swing kettlebells. Some people like to do heavy deadlifts. It's like, you just need to figure out, and it may not be any of those things. You just need to figure out what works for you, you don't have to wrap your mind around 5 out of the 7 days a week. You're still going to have the days where it doesn't feel great, but the majority of the time you want to be looking forward to it rather than having to conquer your own mind every single day. It's just not a sustainable way to live.
No, because then it's just a mental battle.
Right.
And a physical battle, and you're in your head. I mean, there's just so many obstacles then, as opposed to just like getting going.
And just enjoying it, you know, it's enjoying it, which leads to longevity in the movement and longevity in life.
And Luke, too, I kind of think you exemplify this desire of like liking what you do, because to bring you back to running just a little bit, but staying in that workout realm, you had done like a fundraiser, if I'm recalling correctly, of some sort where you ran, I think it was like 26 miles and did it to raise money for people who are in Pittsburgh, where you're originally from, who are hungry, right? People who are starving in Pitt, right where you were home. And you embodied this servile mentality, this kind of like people driven focus with something that you love, which you're starting to love, which is working out, which is running, in the place that you call home. Like, that's all the way around. It's just an awesome experience. But you talk about it because you know it far better than I do. So what was that all about, and how did you make that happen?
Yeah. We were back home for COVID, as everybody was, and it was the news every night, and it was difficult to see all the lines at the homeless, at the not only the homeless shelter, but the food bank, from people that, you know, just simply were, you know, working for a living and now they couldn't make enough, and the unemployment wasn't paying for it. They have kids and, you know, they're sometimes single mothers. It's just a tough scenario for a lot of people. And coming from a family where I didn't have to worry about food shortages during the pandemic, it was difficult to watch, really. And
it was so bad.
I had this idea as I was, you know, still training for football at that point in time. It was my junior year, but my brothers were home and one of them was running at that point in time. And I went on a couple runs with him, and I kind of just had this idea to run a marathon for charity with my brothers. And my one brother ended up tagging along, and people met us all around the city of Pittsburgh. We ran 2 miles in 13 different locations and ended up raising over $3,500 for the local food bank.
Wow, dude, congratulations.
Which was matched by a local bank, so $7,000 in total.
Cash.
It was a truly exceptional experience. And I, through that experience, I understood the power of community and how far you can go when you invite other people along for the journey. You know, I think there's this one quote, it's like, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go with a crew or something like that. You know, bring people along with you. And I truly learned that throughout that experience. And that was kind of my first running adventure. Since then, I've done a triathlon, and I've done my latest endurance challenge was the 4x4x48, which is 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. So
my God.
48 miles in 48 in 2 days. So
yeah.
That was also for a fundraiser to bring a kid from the Dominican Republic to play baseball here in the US.
Dude.
And that isn't somebody that I specifically knew. It was a friend of a friend that I was doing the endurance challenge with, but we raised money for that. And yeah, I've really, you know, it's super cool to see money being raised while doing these endurance challenges. But even deeper than that, it's been a true spiritual experience for me. I mean, the amount of time, the amount of hours I've spent out on the road, you know, sometimes in the dark of the morning or in the dark of night or in the middle of the day, where I can just get out, and 90% of the time I don't wear headphones. I just get out with my own thoughts, my own emotions. As I mentioned earlier, you know, it's the reason I have the job set up as I do today. It's like, you're able to figure out a lot out in what somebody like David Goggins would call the mental lab. You know, there's a lot to say about that person, but I truly believe with this thought that he said, like, running allows you to rewire your brain and get into that mental lab. When you don't wear headphones, you have no distractions. You're conquering those doubts, but you're also, these issues are coming out in your life, and you are able to, you know, attack them and figure out what's going on. And, you know, when it's not any issues that are coming up, you have this sense of solitude that you're at peace while you're running. Sure. And that's, for me, has been a spiritual experience where I come back from a run and I feel completely refreshed, and I'm able to reflect on the day before my run, where my mind's constantly going a million hours. As I'm sure you can tell from this conversation, I'm kind of just all over the place all the time.
No, you're great. You're great.
And so it's good to take that breath of fresh air and bring me back down to where I feel like I'm truly, you know, grounded after something like that. And I'm able to, you know, approach the rest of the day with a clear mind. And I truly believe that, you know, there's some spiritual aspect that's tough to put a finger on, that you can get through, you know, spending a lot of time within your own thoughts. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I learned that during my 8-day silent retreat that I did through John Carroll, where, I spent 8 days in silence. And it's that same thing where you have to, a lot of things come up when you get quiet. And
my gosh, like no sound.
Yeah, there's
8 days.
No phone, no TV. I had a couple books, but they were like more so spiritual self-help books.
And so no one's talking to you. Like, you're on this. Talking. Yeah.
No, yeah. Holy. You had 30 minutes a day with a spiritual director, but to be honest, I skipped the majority of them. I just kind of wanted to spend the time on my own. So
yeah, no, I get it.
It was 8 days, and the first couple of days I really fought the silence. Was brought to tears the first night with just the complexity of the situation I was in. And you know, you got to sit there and realize that nothing is actually wrong. You know, you have food, you have shelter, you're breathing, you're alive. So, okay, if you're crying right now, what is it? What are you attached Whoa. To that you don't yeah. have right now? And at that moment, you can't just be like, oh yeah, I'm attached to this. I'm like, you have to sit with it all night, and you're not going to sleep until you figure it out, because your mind's going a million miles an hour. And that's when I realized, like, when you truly get quiet and think about what's going on in your mind and how it's wired and why things bother you, mm-hmm. that's when you're going to find out a lot about yourself. And running has given me the opportunity to look deeper into a lot of the things that I want to look deeper into, and therefore have a lot of answers that I don't believe I would have without running.
Dude, man, there's so much there. Those are some remarkable experiences, all three of those that you just talked about. So chronologically, was the silent retreat before the 26 miles?
No. So
it was 26 miles.
It was COVID year. So junior year was my, or sophomore year, maybe. I think I ran 26 miles for charity. And then last January, heading into my second semester senior year. So January of 2022
okay.
was my silent retreat.
So about 2 years had passed.
Yeah.
And the silent retreat.
And then now was like 2 months ago.
Dude. Okay. So I'm blown away just all the way around. First of all, I have to say, to take you to the 26 miles, what a testimony to, like you mentioned, working with others, what a result you can bring. Because not trying to simplify it, but all you do is run.
Right.
And it raised $7,000 for the Pittsburgh community. Like, hats off to you, bro. That's really remarkable. And with that, it seems truly only natural that there's a certain sense of spirituality and a certain sense of a higher sense of being with running with you now, because your first real big experience with it was something where you did raise $7,000 and you saw a need and you addressed the need and you handled it through running. That's an interesting connection to me, because to me, it's almost like it's no surprise that now you run to have clarity of mind, to have peace, to have a sense of spirituality, to connect with that higher sense of being. Like, it's a seamless transition to me now. Then you go on the silent retreat. That's going to bolster it too, because you are in that state of mind in a different way, and then followed up with this 4x48.
Yeah.
Like, what a whirlwind of experiences over the last couple of years.
I think I'm attracted to doing things that scare me, but also having the ability to look back at you know, in a year's time, but also at the end of my life, I think about a lot. And like, I say this all the time on podcasts, but Jesse Itzler, I don't know if you know him, but he has a saying called build your life resume. And I think that, you know, a big part of life is creating memories, something that you can live through at an older age, that you knew, like, you gave it all. There was no reserves. Like, you either build your life resume or you build a life resume full of regrets. And I rarely ever say no to a challenge or something out of my comfort zone. I will at least, you know, try something knowing that, you know, I'll learn something from it. You know, whether I finish it or not, I'll learn something. And for that reason, I'll be better. So I think I've just created this mindset where I say yes to a lot of things, which is, I enjoy doing.
Sure. And those experiences are what form you. So like, this resume that you are creating by saying yes is also creating you. And then it's this growth together of like, each experience becomes part of you as much as you became part of it. And it's back and forth all the way through. And that's like what the resume is. I love that analogy of it. Builds your life resume. Yeah. Jesse's a fascinating dude. when you talk about the spirituality aspect of it, what is it outside of when you're running where spiritual ideas play a role? Like, what role does faith play in your life in that capacity?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I grew up, I think we had to have to go back to the beginning here. I grew up going to church every Sunday, and that's kind of a practice that I brought into college, but with classroom setting and somebody preaching to me or teaching me, I've never responded well to it. I was never, you know, very good in the classroom. I was never a great listener. I was never a great reader. So when I was put in that environment, it wasn't like I was forcing myself to go to church. I did enjoy it, but I enjoyed it for the simple fact of solitude. Like, I didn't ever capture a lot of the information that was coming to me and or I was reading. It was more so a space for me to sit there, and similar to how I do on my hour long runs is an hour long church session where I'm just like clearing my mind about things. No offense to the person that was talking, but it was probably in one ear out the other, and then maybe I would get a couple bits of information that I was able to take with me. Now I realize that that's not the best way for me to learn or have a spiritual experience. I think a lot of it comes from within myself. Running is a big thing. Being out in nature is a big one for me, and connecting with, you know, the things that are, you know, provide us with life. And then also just having a meditation and journaling practice where, I'm able to look deeper within myself and really think about the way that I think about things. And on top of that, you know, like, I think you find God or whatever you want to call it at more so your lowest times. And like I talked about this transition, I was really, you know, seeking a higher power to help me through this transition and speaking it out loud for somebody to help me out, because I did feel lost at several different occasions. And you know, I'm in the housing market, which has taken a crash this year, 7% interest rates. My company laid off a bunch of people. Well, the job that I took just happened to lay off too many people, and then they sold too many houses. So now they're busier than they were, they're way ahead of plan. And the people that they laid off weren't a great culture fit, so they didn't want to bring them back on. So they said, okay, let's outsource and hire another employee. Well, guess who just happened to get off the run and realize that they had posted the job, this guy. And then, yeah, I happened to, you know, have a good interview process. There was a lot of people with more experience than me, but it just worked out. And it was like, I got exactly what I was asking for. So with my spiritual practice, I really start to see that a lot of things work out when you're intentional about what you want. And
so good.
It's not like I've seen this play out a million times. I'd say I'm more so new to the practice. But it provides me with a sense of confidence that, like, I am, you know, as much as I'm in control, something else is looking over me and has a plan. So
yes.
I believe that, you know, through that transition, I had every reason to be freaking out, which I was at points in time, but I wasn't as freaked out as I should have been. You know, I'm thinking back to, like, not to go too deep, but like, would I have the confidence to go back 3 months ago and make the decision to put in my notice when their housing market's in basically a crash and I want to stay in the industry, but really there's no jobs? I don't know if I'd have the confidence to do that, but something internally was like, this is the right move and this is the right place to go. Mm-hmm. So I think once you get quiet and you think, you journal, you understand your thoughts, you can understand your next steps. And that's what I found most important with my spiritual practice. And I think just being intentional with your thoughts, and most importantly, finding quiet time to not only get lost in your thoughts, but approach those thoughts with an open mind and see how they can benefit your life.
Dude. Yeah. The intentionality piece is huge. And being present, which is what you're talking about by setting time aside to be intentional and to recognize your thoughts in that moment, is what allows you to also focus on what's coming your way and like what you need to do to make decisions and that kind of thing. And I have to give a quick nod here to a friend of ours, Karin Spear, who Karin's fantastic musical artist amongst many other things, and is just a wonderful soul. I think, to put it quite simply, she is someone I think that, not to speak for you, but has inspired both of us in the way that she is incredibly gifted through hard work and through her own devotion to being present and to being someone who is intentional in their actions and with the deliberate taking of steps to do what she's intending to do. And that is an awesome part of my spiritual influences and journey. Definitely. And that sort of thing. It's incredible.
Yeah. I've had the opportunity to become really close with Karin since her and my girlfriend are roommates now. And the wisdom I've had to gain from her kind of doing her own spiritual experience these past few years since graduating from college and really looking deep into everything has been a major factor as to why I look deep into a lot of things. I think just being around her, as you can say, like I said, you know, you're a product of the five people you hang around. Like, that's a person that I'm around a lot. And I can see that, you know, I wouldn't have a lot of these spiritual practices in my life had it not been for our conversations. You know, probably not one of the direct five people that I was pointing towards, but I can definitely see parts of my life that have come from hers, from being around her. So I'm super appreciative of her guidance and her wisdom. And more so than that, just an open mind that she has taken to a very difficult topic to talk about and also stray away from the normal path. So I'm super thankful for, you know, her willingness to try something new, and in turn just share what she thinks. You know, she comes off as in a very non-judgmental way, which, you know, is good, and is very open to talk about things that are difficult to talk about with a lot of people. So super thankful for her. And yeah, I do feel that her words have benefited me a lot.
I just couldn't help but notice it when you were speaking about your spiritual journey. I'm like, that is Karin in full effect, right? That's Karin's ideas right there blooming. So I had to just give the quick nod there. When we look at our lives, I think there are people who influence us, as we were mentioning. And in that, there are some people who are close to us, right? Like, I think about my mom. I think about, you know, different people in my life who are great influences in my life. Some of them we know and some of them we don't know. Another one I like to throw out is Kobe Bryant, his mindsets and the way that he was as a worker, as, you know, a father and so forth. So my question to you is, who are these influences in your life, whether you know them and they're in your inner circle or not, and you've never met them, like Jesse Itzler. So who are some of those influences to you, and what influence is it that they have on you?
Yeah, that's a great question once again. And I think one of the biggest ones is my dad. He's a very humble individual that, you know, goes about his business and would do anything for anybody, but also just, you know, gentle and strong at the same time. And a very enjoyable person to be around, that people look
beautiful
being around him. And I think that's a major part of my life. I think also my mom, who, you know, is someone that is super tough, raised four boys, and she was a teacher. She was a second grade teacher, recently retired. So, you know, the things that come with that job is, you know, getting up early. She was constantly grading papers late, and, you know, trying to make four sporting events for four three sport athletes. So, you know, it's just a crazy life. And I now have become super thankful for my parents now that I like finally have to take care of myself. Like, you get a glimpse of it in college, but now that you're on
so different
living, it's like completely different. You're like, I'm complaining about going to work and coming home and having to work out and cook dinner for myself. Like, imagine cooking for six kids and trying to squeeze these things and then still working at night. So
yeah,
you gain an appreciation from going through. You couldn't possibly understand it until you have, have kids and understand that. But now I can kind of have a glimpse of what is happening there. In terms of like somebody I have never met, Jesse Itzler is definitely a big one, but honestly, this, no, I don't, no, no, I was going to say, sorry, but I'm not sorry. Joe Rogan is a huge motivator for me, not only because of his podcast, but I think that Joe Rogan is amazing because he is one of the only people I have found online that embraces his multiple identities. You know, he can sit down and cry with someone who's been through something absolutely horrific. He can laugh with the funniest comedians in the world. He can sit down with somebody who, you know, is a gay power lifter and, you know, talks about his journey and how he came out of the closet. And he could talk with somebody about astrophysics. And then he could also, you know, raise a family and he could also go out and party and he can also, you know, do psychedelics. And he balances all these different things where a lot of people are, you know, especially like the fitness realm where I'm in, it's like my life got so much better after I stopped drinking and going out and I cut every single thing out of my diet. Everything is amazing because of that. It's like, that might be for you and that's great. But I think I'm more so someone that can like do a lot of different things and be involved with a lot of different groups. And I don't have to identify with one thing.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And I think
you're multifaceted, right? Like people are multifaceted.
Multifaceted for sure.
100%. Go ahead.
And like in this fitness realm and a lot of the people that I follow and like, they're so just in on one thing, you know, it's like, it's just only working out, being shredded, you know, watching every single thing you eat, counting every calorie. It's like, that doesn't seem like a life for me. That's awesome that you want to do that. But I think the online realm in general, it's like you have to identify with one thing. And that's why I love our podcasts is because we haven't, you know, specifically, it's just conversations with us, you know,
it's conversations
with people. You're not saying like spiritual talks with Clark, or you're not saying, you know, fitness talks with Luke. It's like, I want to be able to have a conversation with anybody. And I don't want to be tied down to one group of people that I'm allowed to have a conversation with. So I think Joe Rogan is super important for society and his ability to give people the opportunity to see his life. And like, you can have your hands in all these different buckets and you don't have to be good at just one thing. And I think that, you know, you see the quality of his life and it's very attractive from someone on the outside looking in.
Yeah. I have to echo the same sentiments about Joe Rogan. I'm going to call it like it is. I think people who rip on Rogan lack appreciation for the supreme talent that he is and the abundance of conversations that he's had, like you mentioned, with people all over the spectrum. And there are a few people on the planet who have had more complex, influential conversations with an array of people than Joe Rogan. And he's done it for years and he's done it thoroughly. And he has to be brilliant in order to do that because to be able to be so successful in that realm takes great knowledge and composure and again skill. So he is someone that is fascinating all the way around, and I wholeheartedly agree with you because I mean, yeah, you look from politicians to Kanye to Portnoy to comedians to astrophysicists, like you got people like all over.
Yeah, all over.
God.
Right.
And a lot of UFC and him and Dana. I mean, sorry, pardon me.
I was saying a lot of those take extreme preparation, which a lot of people might not understand. Like when you have your hands in them, like how could you have to be ready with questions? And a lot of these things he's having people on are super important topics. And he's taking, you know, the time out of his day, you know, to, which at one point he wasn't even making money from it, but to provide society with a lot of the answers to these questions that are usually not asked.
Luke, straight up, if you put an astrophysicist in front of me, I think that would be one of the toughest conversations I could have.
Yeah, I don't even understand what it is, you know, and it's like,
there you go.
It's so confusing, and somehow he is able to do the adequate research. And yeah, it's, you can't just keep a conversation like that going. It takes an extreme talent.
Amen. So he has an influence for us in the podcast realm. Undeniably one of the most influential
and supportive. For,
yes.
I just heard him say on a recent podcast that it's not too late to start your podcast. If you want to get going, start your podcast, man. Just enjoy it. Have fun. That's what we used to do, you know? Mm-hmm. So super supportive as well.
There's another group that I listen to, a fantasy football podcast, which is ridiculous. My buddy and I, and they, that's how they started out. Like it's three, I think it's like three dudes, and they just sit around and they would chop it up about freaking fantasy football. And
yeah,
they just did it for a long time. And then they're nerds about it and know so much about it that it gained traction amongst the fantasy football community. And now that's what they do full time.
Right. That's like, awesome.
Just, and they're the same way. Like, it's like, they're like, we don't know. We love this. We just did it for fun. Now we do it for a living and it's still fun. And we still love it. So that's him. Right. And
right.
Yeah. I'm so with you. That guy is a gift to society and just like the content that he puts out there. And like, there's something for everybody too. Like who can say that? There are very few people that can say, yeah, I got something for everybody. For everybody. There's like Walmart. And then there's like Joe Rogan. Luke, something that I'm really big on, and we're going down a litany here now. We're getting towards the end of the pod, but something that I'm really big on is this idea of gratitude. I think that people who, like Joe Rogan, like you, like people that are trying to do something, people who live in a grateful state, who have gratitude on their mind, who practice gratitude, are point blank just happier than the people who do not. So what role does gratitude play in your life, and how do you see it harnessing your skills but also developing your life for the better?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it plays a tremendous role in my life. When I feel out of it, one of the first things that I do is try to remind myself of all the things that I am grateful for, and I believe that it eliminates some of the anxiety involved with what I might be dealing with. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm also trying to become more strict with my journaling practice. And a lot of the days I just don't want to journal. It's tough to write and explain what's going on, or sometimes I just don't even know where to start. And I found on those days, which are more days than not, because I've never really enjoyed writing, so it's more of a task for me. I'm trying to rewire that as well. But a lot of the days I could find that it's easy for me to open my journal and write down things that I'm grateful for. And it seems that my journal is more so turned into a gratitude journal other than on the days when I really need to dissect something that's going on. So,
yeah,
you know, I just open it up, and a lot of the times it's the same things or similar things, but usually I could find 2, 3, 4, 5 things that, you know, really fascinate me just from maybe the cup of coffee in front of me, that, you know, having an intentional outlook on it. I'm super grateful that I live in this environment where it's able to come from Guatemala, and I'm able to, you know, taste the fruits of that labor in my apartment here. And when you look deep into things like that and understand what a special time we're living in, you can't help but be thankful for what is around you. And I'm glad you brought up that gratitude point, because it truly is the lifeblood of a lot of things. And
oh, yeah.
I really do believe that once you start to practice it, it is something that can make your life a lot better. It's easy in this day and age to constantly look to someone else and consume what you may want or what you see and what you're chasing. And, I think the gratitude part can really ground you. It's like, you don't need all that right now. Mm-hmm. And what you have is most certainly enough. Going back to my 8-day silent retreat, that's what I realized. It's like, you already have it all, you know, as long as you have food on the table, a shelter over your head, you know, you have family that you can call or go see. You have loved ones around you, great friends. I mean, that's what it is. You know, nobody talks about when you go to a funeral, nobody talks about how many cars they had or how much money they had, how many vacations they took. Everybody talks about, you know, the great stories of the people around them and how they impacted them. So
that's right. It's the type of person they were.
Right. So I think having gratitude and being thankful for the moment allows you to not be blinded by all the things going on around you. And one of those factors that allows you to, you know, soak up the present moment and be thankful for it.
That's it. You make the most of it by doing that. And it, when other things start developing and you see more fruits come in your way, you just, it just ripples. You're like, wow, like, because I appreciate the baseline, I appreciate it going outward and all of the experiences and the joys that come with that too.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a fascinating part of life.
It's good. Yeah. We were in Jamaica on an immersion and we're sitting there doing a little reflection and Nikki Malaka, shout out Nikki, wonderful human. She says, she was talking about just like you're saying, this cup of coffee. She's like, while you're here, she's like, I want you all to, there's a group of us all to do precisely that, to sip on the cup of coffee, to experience it. Cause like a lot of times when we're drinking coffee, it's in the morning, it's go, 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 baby. You know, it's go time and you're slurping that kind of. And she's like, really just cherish it. She's like, that's the Jamaican spirit. And while she was saying that, this is a couple of days in now. So while she was saying that, I was like, yeah, the guava jelly. I'm like, just blurted this out to myself, not loudly, but I just kind of blurted this out and just kind of looking at me. She was looking at me and I'm like, I'm sorry. Like while we were there, we were having these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm not a jelly guy, but like the stuff we have here, like the raspberry or whatever the heck, the strawberry, I guess it would be grape. I just don't like jelly, but there they have guava jelly. They have fresh guavas and this guava is turned into jelly. Mm. And dude, the peanut butter and guava sandwiches there were to die for. And that's how I've been feeling about these friggin' sandwiches, because of the guava. Like the peanut butter is the peanut butter, but the guava was the difference. And so when she said that about the cup of coffee, first of all, 100%, but second of all, it made me think about that guava. I'm like, oh my God, this guava, like that's how I've been feeling. It's just, when you find such enamorment in the little things like that, it just, like it just goes all the way up. It just explodes all the way up into your life. And you, from the most seemingly minuscule things to the biggest blessings, right? Like from the guava sandwich to the people around me in that trip, to our families, to just boom, it just keeps going. And then you get in conversations like this and like, I can't help but feel grateful for the rapport that you and I have in this conversation and just the insights and the wisdom that you've shared and that sort of thing. It's wonderful. Luke, while we were talking before, and you didn't know this was coming, so buckle up. While we were talking before the show, you mentioned to me that we all need to find our church. And what Luke was referencing is that this is kind of like, I feel like you really embody this. What this is, when you say find your church, it seems to me that you're saying like, when you bring the kettlebells and you're out in nature, then you're going to bang out a workout. It's not going to the gym every single time. Or for some people, maybe that is their thing. And then for you, it's like, okay, you know what? I've gotten to this point where I'm at a mind awareness and a mind capability to go to Columbus now to make that move. So you talk, Luke, about finding your church. And I think it's really like what you're saying is finding your place in this world and finding the environments around you in which you fulfill yourself, in which you grow to be the best version of yourself. And you're a country music fan. I'm a country music fan. Jordan Davis has a song called Church in a Chevy. You familiar with it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He talks about, right, he's like going to church in a Chevy, on a two lane on the back of a road. And, right, it's that two lane driving with a Chevy where he's got the windows down, the nature breeze coming in, right? He hears Amazing Grace blowing through the windows. And he talks about in the song, like where his mind goes and how in touch he feels when he's driving his Chevy, presumably a truck, in the nature and the oneness that he feels with himself, with his mind, with the people that he's thinking about, and then the nature. And I think that that's what you describe really when you talk about find your church. Will you touch on that? And instead of me talking about what you said, you talk about what you said.
Yeah, for sure. So what I was trying to point out earlier is like, I had this solitude that I was able to find in church. But I knew that there was always something more to just church. I found that, you know, I was able to find even more of a solitude outside of church through, you know, nature, running, hiking, and recently like these kettlebell and yoga flows that I've been getting into. And I would just recommend to anybody to find some form of, it doesn't have to be a physical activity, but some form of activity that allows you to lose train of thought for a little bit, and especially lose track of time is a big one. I think that when you're able to find this little motions that give you this little sense of a flow state, it can enhance your life because your mind is so go, go, go all the time. And it needs these mental resets in order for you to grow spiritually. And for me, it's been running recently and also getting out into nature and really looking at nature for all its beauty. I think a big part of spiritual development is recognizing the beauty of nature, much it has to offer. And going back to the gratitude part, it's like when you become grateful for all the things around you, that's a spiritual experience as well. But I think a great avenue to start on your spiritual development is looking for these moments that make you feel like you're in a state of flow, which I call, you know, find your church, because I think everybody can relate to it. Most people at some point have been to church, and you know, that might be your church for you. I know for me that at this point in my life, that's not where I want to find my church. For me right now, it's going out into nature, and it's moving, it's putting my bare feet on the ground and throwing my kettlebell around, not counting reps, not thinking about what's going on in the outside world. I feel like in that moment, that's where I'm able to lose myself and come back into the real world with a fresh mind. So whatever your church is, I recommend that you go and find that for yourself, because I think we all need this mental reset in a world that never stops revolving, and also a world that never stops creating, and with people that never stop consuming. So I think it's important for our primal wiring to get into nature and do something that kind of is able to reset our clock, because the way that we live and the constant distractions is a very newfound way of living that our ancestors were not wired to work this way. So it's true. Very new to us, and you'll feel the power of being able to find your church, which is just another word for a reset that can bring you back to really bring you back to yourself and ground yourself.
So good, Luke. Yeah, that really touched me when you said that earlier. And like I said, I didn't mean to blindside you with that question, but you rocked that thing out of the park. I just had to hear more. And it's funny, my closing question always is if you have any advice or anything that you would tailor to an audience. I think you just nailed that on the head. So
yeah,
I must say it all ties back to that initial phrase, right? Fill your bucket, find your church, find the place that you feel most in touch with yourself, most in touch with that higher sense of being, with God, with whatever you call God, with your thoughts, with the intentionality in your actions, with a place that you can go and fill your bucket. And then when you return back, you've got that full bucket ready to go with the people that are going to fill it more, with the experience they're going to fill it more, boom, 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 boom. Because inevitably it's going to tip, it's going to spill, stuff's going to fall out. So it's all about those places that can fill it back up and get you back to that high that we talked about, quote unquote high, that high level of living.
Yes. Yes. So Luke, true.
So you've got a lot going on, man. You have Live in Full Flow, the fitness overall flow page, health page. You have the podcast, Anyone Extraordinary. You have yourself. What's your personal Instagram? Luke Brown 33.
Yeah.
Dude, rattle that off.
Yeah. Right.
That's crazy. I'm going to link all that in the description below for my YouTube people that are checking this out that wanted to look at our faces and hear us talk. I will put it in the pinned comment because YouTube, once again, still hates me. One of these days, I hope that I don't have to say it, but YouTube as of right now still hates me, and I can't put the links into the description. So it'll be in the pinned comment. But everybody that's listening, you need to go check out what Luke is putting out there. Follow along the journey. Maybe you will find yourself a new favorite podcast called Anyone Extraordinary. But I think that above all, you will fall in love with who Luke is, in case you haven't already, on this hour and a half roughly journey with our conversation. Luke, I can't thank you enough for being here, man. This conversation really touched my heart. It's going to be one that I am talking about with people that are in my life that I'm bumping into, because a lot of the wisdom that you shared with me is going to be on my mind. And that's one of the joys for me. These podcast episodes, I go and I bring it to other people, right? Even before they come out, and I'm like, dude, I just had this conversation. You got to listen to this and hear other people's thoughts on it. So I really thank you. And I appreciate you taking the time and your vulnerability and sharing what you've shared with me and with our audience here today.
Thank you, Joe. And I greatly appreciate it. The last 4 hours of talking to you have been nothing short of incredible. and truly, it has been a great reset. I feel like this has been a little bit of a reset myself, and having this conversation with you is great. So let's make it happen more often. And I'm excited to have you on my podcast in the future, whenever the stars align. And let's stay in touch more. This has been a great conversation. I know we have a lot to gain from each other in our friendship. So
couldn't agree more, brother. It's been wonderful. So I hope you didn't have anything else that you were going to do tonight, because like you said, it has been 4 hours. So once the two of us get shooting the breeze, that's what goes on, I guess. But everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode, this very special episode of Chats with Clark. Once again, check out all of Luke's social media and the content that he's putting out, which will be in the description below or in the pinned comment if you're on YouTube. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for tuning in.